You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, brought to you by McIlvaney Precious Metals. I'm Rob, alongside of Tori and Miles. And each week, the three of us try to provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict these markets. You can always find us at McIlvaney.com/radio or on YouTube at McIlvaney Financial. So without further ado, Miles, can you give us a recap of this last week?
Hey, I sure can, Rob. Appreciate it. And what a week it's been, kicking it off with gold. Gold, fellas, is down 8.5% this week since we recorded last week, currently sitting at $4,080. And we'll look at some potential correction to levels here in the gold chart here in a little bit. But before we do so, let's look at the rest of the week because the numbers across the board relatively down. Silver down 12.5% since we met last week, currently sitting at about $64 at the moment. Platinum, the other white metals, down about 10.5%, right in between gold and silver. Platinum at $1,660 per ounce. And sister metal palladium actually doing the best out of the metals. It's only down 6.75%, and it is way down at $1,220. So all four of the metals definitely on the slide this week. But you know what else is, guys? The S&P. The S&P is now down 3.8% since our recording last week, currently sitting at 7,275 points. And all of this, as expected, is due to the dollar being up over the last week, most of which happened on Friday at the market open. About 8, 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, the dollar shot up over 100, and we've been sitting right around 100 for the last couple of days. So dollar's up about half a point. A lot to talk about this week. Which one do we want to start it off with?
Well, let's start with gold.
Yeah, I mean, it's negative week. You know, yeah. The trend has been down since that January high, really. But we're actually negative for the year now. So with this recent 8.5% retracement just this week, we're now down 4.6% year to date. So all year long, we've been in the green. Now we're in the red. That's okay. Miles, you talked about that lined in the sand around 4,375. That didn't hold. So we're not surprised to see us here at 4,100. Your charts have shown that for a while. We hit that in March. This is the previous low where we sit now. Actually, Miles, are we a little below the March low that we kind of flash crashed to?
Yeah, just slightly. And the crash back in March, you know, that lasted a solid, 10 or 15 minutes. It's very likely we're probably going to close down here today. And then we'll have to look at some of the levels below here that gold could try to start catch its footing, so to speak.
Well, I mean, we go back to March a year ago and we were all moaning, when is gold going to back up and give us a chance to get in? And it stayed there, you know, and then started climbing towards the end of the summer and it just took off. So I'm seeing this as a gift.
I am too.
Well, the problem is last year when we were complaining, gold was 3,200. So, you know, you go back to like May, June, July last year and gold was sitting 3,200, 3,300. And we're like, when are we going to see 26 again? And lo and behold, we didn't so much see 26 again, sort of the opposite.
Such a good point. I mean, I just remember that so many people look into dollar cost average because we had rallied in gold from the tariff concerns, remember? And we thought, okay, we'll see a seasonal decline. And we laughed last week about gold opening June at like 3,303 and closing June at 3,303. And we never got that opportunity where people that were on the sidelines looking for that dip. Well, now you have it. Now, people with money on the sidelines, you have your dip.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to say this is the floor. Like, we'll do a little bit deeper dive on why this could come down to 3,800.
Yeah, but we're only 4%, 4.5% away from that mark.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty solid line in the sand.
It is, and we may not be awake for it. You know, you talked about the 15-minute flash crash in March. It might happen during the Asian or London markets.
It doesn't take much.
No, and all of a sudden you come in, just like at the top, all the movement occurs in overnight market, and we wake up and are like, oh, look what I missed. Not that we could have traded because our markets weren't open, but these are amazing opportunities, and I personally am buying today. I mean, I have said 4,100 is my personal target for adding to ounces. And I hope that I get another opportunity to get in even lower.
Well, I had another client sold some property, and he just sent me a text of his personal check for $100,000. It's in the mail. He's buying right now. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's been waiting for a chance to buy in, and here it is.
Well, you're 25% down from the high. I had a conversation earlier, too. In fact, I've had two today. Should I be doing this here at these high levels? I'm like, what high levels? I think it's garnered a bunch of news, but they haven't really paid attention. And so much of this decline has happened just in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it's happening in the ETF markets. It's not people sending us boxes of shiny stuff saying, get me out, get me out. It's all the speculators, the hedge funds selling the paper.
Really, really good point. Central bank buying remains really strong, with the exception of Turkey. This image here, we'll show you an image just of how aggressive the Chinese central bank buying has remained, you know, this year. So March, April, and May exceed any other month over the last year other than January of 2025. So in like 16 to 18 straight months, these three have been the highest buying by China. So here's a good indicator as to when you can expect there to be a floor put in. Central bank buying puts in the floor. So if you see large amounts of purchases from sovereign entities, and it may be getting overwhelmed a bit by paper gold being sold in the ETF market. We've lost about $2.5 billion in the ETF market in the last 6 weeks.
Wow. Okay,
so that's a lot of gold being sold.
A lot of paper.
But it's a lot of need for cash.
Yeah.
If you're on leverage right now, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
right?
You are.
So between private equity markets, private lending, people that are dealing on leverage, you're looking for a cash type of situation. And that's why we're seeing, I think, some broad-based selling across the board. There's a flight to cash. There's also a move into these speculative markets.
Look at the Dow. It's off 950 points today, just today. And you know there's leverage in that market.
You know there is. And that's despite all the tech euphoria.
Yeah.
These IPOs coming out with SpaceX and OpenAI, and that's going to be a great opportunity. People, I'm sure, are even selling assets that they have positive returns in so they can go and speculate in the tech sector and try to turn it into the new Bitcoin. But Bitcoin's down too.
Yeah.
When everything's broad selling like this, you know,
money's going somewhere.
We're not in a market crash, but I'll tell you, there's clearly no need for a risk off investment. There's no perceived risk in the market. It's this euphoria of, hey, let's chase these tech sector gains and whatever else we can go try to double our money in short order. So, wow, Miles, we just sidetracked you on the technical analysis.
No, you guys are doing great.
Of gold.
So,
anything to add?
I mean, there's just some anticipation of certain pricing levels, but really any of this ever comes down to like, what is going to be the catalyst that encourages involvement from the general public? And you're looking at pricing levels, because you look at this chart. I mean, China obviously took a break there while the price was skyrocketing, but lo and behold, the price is coming down and they're ramping their buying up again. Wise investors buy on the way down. Skittish investors or chasing investors buy on the way up. Yeah, or greedy or fearful. Yeah, whatever you want to call
it. Greedy, skittish.
So yeah, call it whatever you want to call it. That's fine. But you're not wrong. And I appreciate what you just said a second ago before we started talking there, where you said, hey, I'm buying at 4,100 and then I'm going to buy again at 3,800 if it goes to it, and so on and so forth. It's an issue of tempering expectations. Nobody knows what the line in the sand is. And anybody who gets on a YouTube show and tells you this is it, they're either lying or trying to sell something you probably don't want in the first place. Because let's be honest, if any of us knew what the market was going to do, we wouldn't waste our time telling other people. Why would I ever tell any of you what the market's going to do if I knew? I'd just sit at home and be a quadrillionaire.
Unless you were taking the opposite bet.
That's fair, but I don't want to name anyone that can sue us, so I'll keep my mouth shut.
Well, but in the meantime, that's why we're trimming some of our exposure to silver and taking the win. We're encouraging our clients to shave off a third to whatever of their silver position and gain ounces in gold. You know, I'm seeing a lot of clients gain 30 to 35 to 40% more ounces of gold right now with just a portion of their silver position from when we got started.
That's no different than buying gold today with new money.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just using silver, and so you're getting your gold at a 40% discount.
Exactly. And it's a win because it looks like the ratio, we're in the low to mid 60s right now, silver ounces to an ounce of gold. And it really does appear that that ratio is going to widen instead of narrow. I mean, I see 80 to 1 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold before I see 50 to 1. And I don't even know if we'll ever get back to 50 to 1 near term. Miles, you brought this up in our pre-show prep. We could be 8 years away from a ratio trade from gold back to silver. Now, hopefully that's not the case, but we don't know. We do know that gold is very solid. The underlying big central bank demand for gold is not going to stop. They have an agenda that we have laid out before. Silver, we just don't know.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to exit silver, but we do want to trim the positions.
Well, there's your tempered expectations again.
Yeah.
You're in your silver at a gold to silver ratio at 90, 100, 110. In some cases, I have a few of those clients, which is amazing. Yeah, you're sitting in big silver positions. You get sub 60 on the ratio. You take some off the table. You leave some on the table in case we see sub 50, sub 40, you know, in case we see some of those numbers again. But guys, we've been talking for years. I've been making the argument for years that gold is gradually becoming more valuable than silver over time. And you can see that in the charts. The highs are getting higher in the ratio and the lows are getting higher. So we may never see 30 to 1 in the ratio.
May never.
We may never see 30 to 1 again. You know, when that happened back in 2011, when we hit what, 31.7 or whatever, 32 to 1, 31 to 1. That may be the last time that ever happens again in history.
And it was over. It was over in a flash.
Well, that's a great point.
That's the other great point, too. And what makes me nervous and why, you know, again, tempered expectations. Do something. If you're in a silver position at 90, 100, 110 to 1, take a bite. Sure, I could be wrong. We could be wrong. I mean, you know, we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, silver had continued to outperform gold, even though we had that bounce down in the 40s. We bounced back up to the 60s. It was trailing its way back down. Even in the downslide, silver was still outperforming gold by a little bit. But here recently, with the recent fall, it's pretty much neck and neck. In fact, gold slightly outperformed silver over the last week. And my concern is, if you're greedy, you might miss it. And I don't want anybody to miss it. Do something.
Well, and look at the image. This is a great chart for you to put up, showing the higher highs and the higher lows, you know, in that trend line. Mm-hmm. But the reversal points that Rob just mentioned, they are sharp.
Yeah.
When you hit a top, it's an aggressive reversal. When you hit a bottom, it's an aggressive reversal. And we've already seen it. Especially, we got down to, during the day, as low as 43 to 1, and here we are recording at 63 to 1. You guys, we're already up 20 points in the ratio from the low we put in January. That, to me, tells me that if we look back historically on those reversal points, we've seen it, and that we're not going back to 43.
No, we're going the other way.
And maybe we just chop sideways here for a while.
That would be fine.
But that would be fine. Gives you longer time to take the win based on your entry ratios that Miles laid out. Anything in the high 80s to low 100s, you should be still trimming those positions here, and you have to wait on the rest because it's not mathematically indicated. But I know everybody's wondering, why are the metals reversing? Like, we can't just sit there and say it's a seasonal trend. Well, it is a seasonal trend, okay, but that
it is June.
That doesn't tell you.
We talked about that last week. It is June.
Yep,
but you know,
it didn't do it last year necessarily, but I'm going to run through the primary reasons that gold is coming down. You've got the Iranian conflict, first of all. So as tensions remain high, gold has remained down.
Yeah.
And that's because treasury yields are up, the dollar's up, oil's up, inflation going up. And that is increasing the odds of not only, well, it's reducing the odds of a rate cut, which is what they were thinking. That's weak dollar policy. Now there's a 70% chance of rate hikes this year in order to rein in the inflation. So the longer it gets stretched out, the stronger the dollar policy will have to be in order to rein in the inflation. And that's weak for gold. So you've got all the ETF selling. You've got the bond yields up, the U.S. bond yields. So as those yields climb, that's a big headwind for gold. You have the dollar up, as Miles pointed out early in the show. You have the expectations for rate hikes at 70%. The technical levels that we saw, this is a technical breakdown in a very healthy trading type of environment where you can see these lows putting in. And then you've got real rates are positive. So when real rates of return are climbing and they're over 2.1% now, that's a headwind for gold. On top of that, you've got this tech stock exuberance and no apparent need for risk off investment. So people are trimming gold positions and speculating. Finally, you've got these margin calls, clearly a flight to cash. This is what the late stage of a liquidity cycle looks like. And the metals are going to reverse first when it's over. So there you have it in a nutshell. There's, to me, the underlying fundamental reasons as to why gold and silver and the other metals are down. It's not going to last. And take the opportunity to add the ounces.
Well, and if you look at the ratio between gold and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we hit 12 to 1. I mean, if you look at the chart, you look at that Dow gold ratio just since the beginning of the year, it has just reversed strongly to the upside.
What a reversal. Yep.
Yeah.
And part of the reason it didn't bottom, like we know we didn't put in a bottom because the stock market never crashed. Typically, when we get into single digits of the price of the Dow divided by the gold price, it's because the Dow has
sold
plummeted.
Off. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. That was all gold's rally, and it's going to happen. We're going to get down into that 5-6 to 1 when the equities markets finally sell off. Even if gold initially follows suit,
it'll reverse
faster.
Quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
The CPI came out today. That didn't help. Inflation 4.2%. So all markets are skittish now, to use Miles' earlier term. So PPI comes out Thursday. We'll see. When this show comes out, it'll actually be on the same day as a PPI release. And then Friday, we have University of Michigan inflation expectations. So this administration has got a lot of adversity now.
Between, talk about headwinds.
Oh, man. The Iranian conflict and now the economy. And when all they can point to is stock market health and numbers, and those start to go against them like Friday and today and Monday, that's not good. And it's going to start telling the real story. But we'll see what happens next Wednesday when we're recording. We'll let you know what transpired with the Fed.
Open Market Committee.
Yeah.
Yep, that's going to be key.
Yep.
Because I think they're going to raise rates, well, 70% likelihood, like you mentioned a minute ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the volatility will continue throughout the next week till the next show because of trying to guess that and then the negative numbers coming in.
Well, and there's going to be anticipatory investing that direction taking place right now, too. So I think the theme of the show this week is the liquidity crisis issue you just brought up. Mm-hmm. It's very rare you see all markets going up at the same time or all markets going down at the same time. And that's what we've been seeing for a considerable amount of time now with the equities rising and the metals rising. Now, the metals have been beating the equities for the last couple of years. So obviously, or that Dow gold ratio wouldn't have been dropping. The White House was hoping to get somebody a little bit more amenable to their quantitative easing desires because no president in history doesn't want to just pull the credit card out and let the next guy deal with the problem.
Or cut rates.
Yeah. Cut rates, increase spending, ease things a little bit in the short term at the expense of your kids and grandkids. But if we do start seeing some interest rates rises, which Rob, you just said, most people are expecting next week, it's not surprising. So here's what's funny, and I think a lot of people miss this. It's the buy the rumor, sell the news concept where we're seeing everything kind of soften right now, including the equities market. If they don't raise interest rates, it could soften further, which it should do the opposite. And if they do raise interest rates, it'll probably rebound back up because people have already bought the rumor. Now it's time to sell the news. So the initial knee-jerk reactions are often opposite of what you would expect them to be simply because people have already placed those bets ahead of time. And then they've got to short-term cash them out. And then you give it a couple weeks for things to settle back into the pattern that you're expecting them to. So I think next week's going to be pretty bumpy with everything already off a fair bit. And we end up seeing a big drop in the Dow. I think that's going to shake people up a fair bit. But realistically, guys, the S&P's been up so stinking much, just like gold and silver has, that a 12 or 15% drop in the S&P right now is still incredibly bullish. Like, it's crazy how much we're up. I mean, a 50% drop in silver, and silver is still up 100% from this time last year. It's still incredibly bullish. You know, and silver's the new Bitcoin. Takes a 50% decline, and it's still at 100% return. Silver's the new Bitcoin. Just keeps on ticking. Speaking of which, Bitcoin's off 50% too from the highs last year. So everything is just, it's people are taking profits. The market's going to get its feet back under us. We are going to find some of these levels. 4375 didn't hold. Now we're looking at 4100. 4100 doesn't hold. It's 3800. Than 3,200. Like, there are rungs on the ladder where if you're a wise investor, you just expect to be making incremental purchases there. Just like there are rungs on the ladder where if you are a stacker of ounces and you want to play the gold to silver ratio, you do some at 60 and 50 and maybe 40 if we ever get to 40 and 30 if that ever happens again. You know, it's about taking incremental wins. Every win is a win. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get the whole win. Get 80% of the win. You stack up a bunch of 60, 70, 80% victories. That's going to do better for you long time than either hitting the nail on the head or missing completely.
Yeah, because you're never going to get the trade exactly right. Come on.
Unless you're lucky.
Are you saying all this just to lay the foundation for the World Cup? You sound like a soccer tie.
No, I...
We all just need to get numb to the markets with a World Cup.
I root for our boys every 4 years. It's never going to happen, but I'm still going to have a beer. I'm still going to root them on. I'm still going to be depressed.
And they can advance out of their group with a bunch of ties.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it every 4 years. And just like everybody else.
That's an 80% win.
And then just like everybody else, the other 3.5 years, I couldn't care less about soccer. But every 4 years.
Well, speaking of soccer, that's about it for me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if we scored a goal, but we definitely made a
touchdown, a lot of kicks. Something like that.
Yeah, that's it.
So, all right. Get us out of here, Miles.
That's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website to learn more. You can find us at McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to chat about your personal portfolio, give us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.